Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I mean, the Lord is good. How many have tasted and seen? Tonight we're going to do that. We're going to taste and see that He is good. Now, how many here enjoyed your Thanksgiving time? Anybody get enough to eat? Too much? Now, I'm good with turkey for about a weekend. But after that, I'm turkeyed out. I mean, I can have a couple meals of it, but it's good. Amen. It is good. When it comes to snow, you can bank on every Wednesday and every Sunday. I know it hinders people from coming, but I'm glad you're here. Psalm 34. I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at, somebody say all time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. God is worthy of all praise, unending praise. It's the invitation. These first three verses, David is going to admonish us that we need to praise the Lord. How many of us that needs to be done daily? How many of us that praising the Lord will change your day? Because I've seen that it changes our countenance. It's like one thing to have gratitude. Listen to me, when we couple that with praise, how many of us it adds another layer? David is saying, I will bless the Lord at how many times? How many of us he's faced some serious stuff? And if you look at the life of David, if you take some of his little struggles out, how many of us he was a warrior? Man, he had to hide in caves. He had to deal with this. The truth is that he had a full life of everything. And yet he could still say, I will bless the Lord at all times. The only time he was most miserable is when he hid his sin. He says that my bones were drying up within me until I confessed them. The truth is that when we live for Christ, it makes a difference. And it also makes a difference upon our countenance. Say amen. Look at verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. David is calling upon the humble to rejoice with him. Like all of us in this room here, we need to be humble with our God. As it says in Isaiah 66 verse 2, that truly God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Somebody say, who can be against us? Amen. When it comes to the words of praise, it's good news to those that are in need. Now, when you're walking humble with your God, you have less farther to fall. Say amen. It's not far to fall from your knees. But it's amazing to me that when we walk in pride, many times we don't see it. And that fall is great. When people take on their own works for themselves or say, God, I don't need you. Truly, we all need him. The truth is that we need to look at our God and say, God, I'm so thankful that I belong to you. That, Lord Jesus, if there's a puffing up in pride, Lord, I want to humble myself. Even if you've done something over and over and you can do it a million times, you still need God's strength. Yes. We need to ask him, Lord, help me that I can do better here. Amen. I mean, the Lord can gift us and strengthen us. David says, the humble shall hear and be glad. And it's such a true statement. Look at verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name, what? How many knows that's a group setting? That isn't just an individual. When we come together, let's magnify him. Now, how many ever had a magnifying glass before? Now, I used to do that with ants. We used to wound them, and I'd take a magnifying glass, and we used to smoke them till they burned. And burning ants stink. Oh, you're all perfect children, weren't you? Amen? The truth is that I love to play with magnifying glasses. We'd play with them, we'd burn stuff, we'd burn paper, amen. But the truth is, now I use a magnifying glass when the print is super small and I can't read it. Oh, anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember one time there was instructions how to make something, and it was micro print. I had readers on, I still couldn't read it, so I broke out my magnifying glass, and I actually had to zoom it in. It's like one letter at a time, and I had to write it out because it was so small, nobody could read that. But the truth is that let's make him bigger. Not that he doesn't need it, he's already huge, but I need to make him bigger. We need to magnify him. We need to lift him up together and exalt him together. There's something about coming together. David is admonishing, listen to me, when we come together, we need to magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. Those that want to be by themselves or be their own church by themselves, that's not scriptural. When we come together, we magnify him together. It builds up. The humble shall hear and be glad. When I look at these first three verses, David's inviting to hear, to join in praise. When I make him bigger, listen to me, he's bigger than anything. I shared with the first service, I prayed this morning at prayer. I guess that is the first service. My sister is having a little struggle with some cancer, and they found it in her blood. So she's asked that people would pray. They postponed her test till after the first, so she won't know anything later than that. She wanted to get in, but when you live in Hawaii, that's nice, but how many knows it doesn't have all the luxuries we have here? So the specialist they have, she's believing that they misreported. Amen. She's believing they found it, but now it's gone. Amen? When she gets here, we've already talked on the phone. I talked to her about a half hour ago. We're going to anoint her with oil and prayer, a prayer of faith over her. How many's God is still greater than anything? How many's God still greater than anything? We're going to magnify the Lord together. So she's asked me to ask you if you would continue to pray. How many's will curse that blood thing, whatever it is, that Jesus is greater than that. To me, I want it to be a testimony that God stepped in. Hallelujah. When I look at Jesus here, look at verse 4. I sought the Lord and he what? Here's a testimony. I sought the Lord and he heard me. That is the greatest thing ever, is when God hears you. Amen. Notice it didn't start off with a whole bunch of prayers. It started off with worship and building him up. Then you ask. Yes. I mean, it prepares us to ask appropriately. It puts God in the right perspective. I want God big when I talk to him. Amen. Not barely able to meet the need, but more than able to do more than I can ask or think. Come on, I sought the Lord and he what? Somebody say he heard me. Listen, when your prayers are heard, how many knows an answer is on its way? Notice this next part. And he delivered me from all my fears. Listen to me, there are times in life that you may have something come up that'll bring a point of fear. I was talking to my sister and she said, listen, I go, how you doing? She goes, in between the tears, not knowing about my life, I'm pulling it together. How many knows that's a real response? It's not a facade like everything is cool. It's like, no, I have good times and I have some struggles. But she said this to me, and this is so neat. This morning we were praying for her. They're four hours behind us in time. She says, when I got up, she goes, I went to the bathroom. She says, I felt the overwhelming presence of God there. I said, what time was that? Say hallelujah. How many was God's able to send a word? Yeah. She said that I was just in the, she goes, I just sensed God there. How many was God will hear you? Yeah. See, people need a word. There are times that we need to hear from God. And that's where I want people to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes God will give you a word of life for somebody else. Now it takes boldness and a step of faith to speak that word. But you speak what God gives you. Amen. How many was that bring encouragement and strength? I told my sister, I'm going to be fasting and praying that, Lord, give me a word of the Lord for you. Amen. I want to be able to speak it boldly. Hallelujah. Say, God is good. Notice I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. That means you were in a situation where you needed God to deliver you and also your situation was less than adequate. For David, many times he was hiding in the caves. He was running from this. But the truth is God delivered him. And when you can be delivered of your fears, there's new strength coming. Fear grips you. Fear paralyzes. Fear has torment. Fear is the opposite of faith. And believe me, they're always in a battle. And the enemy seems to have his hand pushing on the fear. But God says, I'm with you. I heard you. And I will deliver you. How many knows deliverance means he'll take you from that? Say, God is good. Say, how many knows he's good? I want you to look down to verse 8 for a minute because I need to go somewhere. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? What is the best tasting thing you ever had in your life? Chocolate? What? Burnt steak. What's the best thing you ever tasted in your life? Cheesecake. What's the best thing you ever tasted in your life? Jesus. What's the best thing you ever tasted in your life? What comes to mind? Peanut butter milkshake. Glory to God. Your mom's apple pie. What comes to mind when you think that? I mean, it's what you like. You probably visit it more than once. True? It's probably maybe on your schedule to eat sometime. Maybe you shouldn't eat it, but it's still in your schedule. But it says, taste and see that he is what? He is good. I said he is good. When you taste and see how good God is, believe me, look at a part of the verse. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. When it comes to these areas, David was admonishing, come worship with me. God will be there. He'll deliver you in fears. But taste and see. When we see this here, everything that we have, what we hear and what we see is always external. But what we taste is internal. For us as individuals, it's what we put into our mouth. It's eaten. It becomes a part of us. You know what? We need it also. We just don't need to feel at times. We need to have him internal. Say amen. I mean, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Taste and see that he is good. Now, what's the worst thing you've ever tasted besides sauerkraut? Liver. Coconut. What makes you go, ugh? Coconut. What makes you go, ugh? You just can't do it. Okay, there's a lot of liver haters here. Brussels sprouts. Okay. What? Bugs, you hate bugs? Okay, all right, fair enough. What makes you go, oh, I just can't do it? Liver? Somebody like liver? All right. But whatever it is, notice that your body can respond to that. For me, when I smell sauerkraut, no matter where it is, my body goes into convulsions. Oh, no! I have flashbacks and heat waves come upon me. Instantly, I go back as to a child and say, no, Mom, no, not that. We're going to eat that for a week. No. Sorry, I'm scarred. God's still working on me. And I can still taste it without tasting it because I remember. Taste and see that he is good. Notice that it's what's internal. It's what I have coming in me. And when I start to taste that, there's no taste like what he has. Are you with me? Everything you desire is in him. And see, the problem with being backslidden is once you've tasted of that heavenly gift, seen the power to come, to turn away is an unbelievably awful thing. Because you know the truth and now you've walked from it. Everyone in here has an acquired taste for something, something you like. The truth is you know what that tastes like. And when I look at taste and see, I want to be, Lord Jesus, what you want me to be with the right appetites. When it becomes part of my taste, you know what? I begin to learn. I want you to see something here. I'm going somewhere. To taste means this, to discern, to perceive, or evaluate something. It's to discern what of value. When I look at these things, when it says taste and see, discern. Look at that area. Now, we've heard this before. They have good taste. And sometimes that refers to an area of like they like something nice or a certain way or a certain thing or a certain product. When you taste and see, you're starting to discern, that's good stuff. I start to perceive, you know, that is a good thing in my life. The psalmist is saying, why don't you discern and taste? Take it internal into your life and say, that's good. That's good. That's just what I needed. Notice David said, I'm going to be delivered from all my fears. I've learned this in life. There are two things necessary to enjoy God's goodness. Number one, freedom from guilt. And two, a sense of gratitude. When I have when he removes my sin and shame, you know what? I have that guilt removed. And now with gratitude starting to work, it's all of a sudden things begin to make sense. It's no longer I'm under that shame and guilt. And now I'm thankful. When David's speaking to us, he's saying, listen to me, start off your life with joy and praise. Lift him up. God will deliver you, but then also taste. Taste and see. When I'm free from guilt, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Notice that there's a transfer, that from inside the working's begun, that I was conceived in sin, that internal part of my life needed to change, and he came in and did a work. The best is yet to come. You're going to end up one day liking who you are. Say amen. One day this shed, this body that has so many limitations, and have a body like it unto Christ. How many feel you'll be happy forever? How many feel that in eternity, no sin, no shame, no sorrow, no pain. Every day glorious. Amen. Whatever the happiest you could be, that's the way you'll be every day. And I kind of feel that that will ever be increasing forever. So whatever level is there is going to keep getting better and better and better. That's heaven for us. Now taste and see. Then Lord, I need to know now. I need to start walking in that now. How can I now possess that while I'm still on this planet? When Jesus said it was the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was he looking at that he could look at all that and say, you know what? I know it's going to be painful. I know it's going to hurt. I know it's going to be everything. I'm going to lose my life, but I still have joy because I'm doing my Father's will. And many will come to know me through my life. That brought him joy. I mean, sometimes you got to look through and wade through all that. What that shows me is that he possessed joy. He possessed joy. He walked in that area. It wasn't predicated on him having a good day today or the sun was shining or this was happening. No, it was in him. It was in him because it was in the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen him. We're one in that arena. How many want to be that? I want to be one with him. Now, how many ever walked in a room and breathed in deep and went, that smells good? Now, when my wife uses a crock pot, every now and then we use a crock pot because sometimes we're not home for a while. And it's amazing how that little pot at a certain temperature will cook a lot of stuff. We've stuck meat in there with potatoes and carrots and celery and all that stuff. It all blends together. When you walk in the door, it's like, that smells pretty good. How many knows it's going into my nostrils? And now my brain is registering, that's good. And now I can think about what there is. Well, shouldn't it be the same way with the Lord? Shouldn't it be like we come in, there should be a fragrance of heaven among us? Yes, yes or no? Yes. Come on, we've all smelled bitterness. We've all smelled anger. What about joy and peace? What about those things in my life? I want to walk in that. Kind of quiet in here. Amen. When it comes to a sense of gratitude in Psalm 50 verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay vows to the Most High God. In Psalm 92 verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto God, to sing praises to the Most High. Ephesians 5 verse 20, and give thanks always unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. When I look at those things, Lord, gratitude begins to lift up. Then the fragrance becomes a sweet-smelling savor. All of a sudden now, I am speaking the same thing he is. And now the environment now is set. Worship has brought in the presence. I've lifted up my God. He's delivered me from my carnality and my fear. I've magnified him, and now, you know what? I'm going to walk in it. Notice all that prepared me to be where I needed to be. Now taste and see. Taste and see. Taste and see that he is what? Notice it doesn't say taste and see he is bad, or he is sour, or he is worthless. God is always good. Now picture yourself at the very throne of God, worshiping before him, being able to hold the note as long as you need to. Say amen. I mean, I'm going to have an expanse in my lungs, bless God. I need to hold that note. Woo! It'll be there. Then, Lord, taste and see. Can you see how it's oneness with him? How all of a sudden now it's an eternal thing. It's no longer out touching. I now am taking it in. I'm possessing what he has. You know, you have the Spirit of God in you. How many believe that? That means you're one with him in the Spirit. This, we're so limited sometimes that we need to realize I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me. That's how vast my spirit is. God's in my spirit. Isn't that cool? Then, Lord, I want to let that live out. I want to let that live out in this frail body, in this burlap sack, as it were. I want to let that light shine. I notice that the miracles the apostles did is because they laid down their life and totally followed him. They followed biblical patterns to say, hey, this is what God wants to do, and I want to be there. Anybody with me? Remember, to taste means to discern, to perceive, to evaluate something. How about this? We need to look on the positive side when we face struggles. Anybody here? In Numbers chapter 13, when the 12 spies went out, how many gave a good report? Only two. The 10 were pessimistic. A pessimistic view is this: one who's on a voyage throughout life, seasick. That's a pessimistic view. How about this? A pessimist absorbs sunshine and radiant gloom. Caleb and Joshua's response was Numbers 14, verse 8. If the Lord delights in us, then he'll bring us into a land that flows with milk and honey. For us to taste is this: be part of the solution rather than the problem. Come on, you got Christ in you. I need to discern. I'd rather encourage than discourage. We have an opportunity. Notice the first three verses. His building up, magnifying, rejoicing. We need that. David had every right in the natural to be upset sometimes. Sometimes he was treated awful. And then he himself made some mistakes. But he chose to magnify God. He chose to say, I'm going to taste it. He is good. No matter what's going on, we need to have an appetite that's after God. How many know sometimes we can drink fresh water and salt water? We can live for the Lord and sometimes just be in the flesh. Anybody in here? I've noticed there's a peculiar... It's like this. When the enemy comes in, sometimes we'll look at the faults of others and not our own. And sometimes our sin looks so much greater on somebody else. It's easier to criticize than to be creative. Lord, let me change that. Notice when the words come out, they're coming from within. What I see, what I hear, well, when I speak, what do I speak? Then, Lord, I want to make sure that in there is the same coming out here. How many have ever been around a scent long enough and it got on you? Now, years ago when I used to bowl, I was never that good. When I walked out of a bowling alley, I smelled like smoke. No matter what. No matter if you did or didn't. True? How many knows that you can walk out with a fragrance? I've seen some people have some real strong perfume or cologne and get it on you and still smell it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've done a lot of welding in my life, and there's times where I know that smell, and there's sometimes I got it on me. I've drove diesel vehicles, and I go, I got it on me. How many knows your environment sometimes will saturate what you have? You may not even speak, and somebody can tell what you've been doing. All you old hippies said amen. When it comes to taste, we need to try listening more and talking less. Sometimes you need to take your own advice. Oh, that's good preaching. In James 1, verse 19, wherefore, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In Matthew 11, verse 15, he who has an ear, let him hear. Listen to me. All these things are something we need to work on. I found this Greek proverb. It says this: I have often regretted my speech, but never my silence. When it comes to tasting, we need to examine our desires. David's saying, taste and see that he is good. What are my desires? What am I going after? Is that fragrance of heaven starting to permeate every area? Have I tasted long enough that I don't want a counterfeit, or I can taste a counterfeit? Now, where we live, we have to drink bottled water. We have well water. Our well water is just too strong. Even though we got the purifier, we got the salt, we got the three-filter deal, to me, it still affects my body, I'll be honest with you. So we buy bottled water. It's not that expensive. We just buy it. That's the way it is. Part of the grocery budget. But I can tell when our softener starts to change a little bit. It's got these cycles it goes through. It purifies itself. And when the salt level gets lower, it changes the water taste. Also the smell. And let me say it to you. Well water doesn't smell. We have a strong iron smell where we live. Now, it doesn't take long to figure out that that water's not that pure. But dare I say, if I grew up with it, I didn't have anything else, I probably would be accustomed to it. There's no doubt about it. But since I've tasted something a little more pure, a little more refined, now there's a difference. It should be the same way with our relationship with the Lord. We came out of the world drinking whatever the world had to offer, and now we've tasted something different. The more you get accustomed to tasting of the Word of the Holy Spirit, the less you're going to want a substitute. And when you get full of what He has, there's less room for something else. Now, I know this isn't anybody in here. Back in the day, we used to drink a lot of soda or pop. Anybody do that? Okay. All right, some of you still do. Some of you start probably still pounding some brewskis down. Don't raise your hand. The truth is, there's an acquired taste sometimes for things. But you get used to that. That's what you like. Well, Lord, I want to taste. Lord, if I'm missing a taste from, I want it. Then give me what's pure. There's a lot of people in a lot of churches that haven't even tasted the pure Word of God. They went through the motions. They do the religious thing. But man, have you tasted the Word of God? Have you tasted and see how good He is? When that happens, it changes your taste buds. I'll get to that in a minute. We need to examine our desires. In Psalm 34, verse 12, what man is he that desires life and loves many days to see that which is good? Desire is part of our humanness, our humanity. We need to desire. We desire those things. There are things that God wants us to have. But do I really desire Him? When I taste, I want to make this statement to you. Don't burn your taste buds. How many here have ever tasted something hot? How many ever burned your mouth and like, I've had things so hot that I couldn't taste anything more. I'm thankful that about every 2 weeks your taste buds are renewed. And somebody said, I read in some journal that you have over 10,000 of them in your mouth. I mean, that's pretty fascinating. Now, I've had some dogs. I used to have some German Shepherds. When they ate, sometimes they didn't even chew. They just swallowed it. When they ate, it's like, rah, 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 rah. And they were mindful. I could take their bowl anytime. But when it was dinner time, I'm eating, and it's like they just scarfed it down. And I've often wondered, how much can they really taste? I'm sure they taste some things, but my dog never talked to me. All I know is whatever I placed there was gone. But what about our life? What's our diet of? What are we tasting? When we taste the world, listen to me. We taste sin, it should make us sick. Now, I know sin is fun for a season. Scripture does say it. But in John, 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things of the world. There are sometimes we need to say, you know what? I never want to get so calloused that, Lord, I'm not even eating right. And that I don't even care about what I'm even chewing. Say amen. I mean, sometimes if you've been a smoker for a while, it can dull some of your senses. There's just no doubt about it. I'm not picking on any habits here tonight. The truth is that that's reality. What you think, if you've ever been ill to a place where your nose and your mouth was, I mean, some things don't taste right. Or you can't even taste it at all. Are you enjoying tonight? When we taste, listen to me. Don't get too old in God. The older you get, the more your taste bud seems to be reduced. In 2 Samuel 19, verse 35, it talked about, listen to me, all of us in here are getting older, but don't get older in God to the place where you're killing your taste buds. Your physical body's getting older, but how many knows we don't need to get old in Him? We can be fresh and new. Though outwardly you're getting older, yet inwardly you're being renewed. How many of us, I'm not going to get old in God. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about mature relationship. I'm talking about getting old in those things. That we become lazy. In here, each one of us need to keep it fresh and new. There are some things I can't do now that I used to do when I was younger. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. I mean, some things take a little longer to recover. Oh, you're all perfect in here. How many ever like tweaked something, did something, went, ow, man, that's something new there. All right. Has anybody, I got to ask this. Has anybody ever laid down at night and all of a sudden your leg goes, whoop, or your arm twitches? Let me see your hand. I did that one time, you know, not a couple weeks ago. I kicked like I was doing some karate move or something. And I actually chuckled. I went, dude, that was different, all right? I'm just glad I didn't kick my wife or something. Sometimes this body is different. It responds. But sometimes it's like, come along too. Sometimes my insides are so much stronger than the exterior. The more we start to bring into our life, the more starts to come out of our life. Well, I looked at my filter system at my house. And I had this triple purifying thing. And each one had a filter with it, a little cartridge in there. And as the water went through, it got a little cleaner, a little cleaner. And then I got this little tap by the faucet there. You turn it on. And the water is actually pretty decent from what it starts out as. How many want to keep the filter process working? How many knows this brain needs to be washed? There are times that we've had a devotion and haven't put much time into it. True? But there's times that we spent, you know what, I'm going to spend some time with the Lord. There's some times where you just pushed everything away and said, you know what, I'm going to go after Him. For taste, listen to me, the fear of the Lord sets us on a path of goodness and peace. In Psalm 34, verse 12 says this, what man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see the good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Notice again, these are coming forth from your life. Because now the change is happening. Well, Lord, let me have a filter upon my lips. That it's ran through your word long enough that what comes out of my mouth is only good and purified. Let no profane thing come out of my mouth. Come on. Has Jesus spoken great things to all of us in this room? Yes or no? Has He encouraged you? Has He given you the pure washing of the word? Notice everything you receive from God is so pure. There's no evil in it at all. Then, Lord, I want it to change me. I live in a world that you can get dirty just by walking around. Even if you didn't watch anything, look at anything, you can get dirty just being in the planet. Amen? Let alone the conversations we hear, a little bit here, a little bit there. You'll need a bath. The fast shouldn't be away from the Word of God. It should be with the Word of God. Come on. How many want to drink that which is pure? How many want to offer that to somebody else? Then that purification process needs to be in place. then Lord, let me keep my mouth from speaking what I don't. Hallelujah. Picture David. How many times did Saul come after him? How many times could he have railed on him? Even David could have took his life many times over. But he said, I'm going to touch him. That's God's. God will take care of that. When I look at that, what would you do if somebody's coming after your life? You had to leave your family, live in some cave, act like some madman in another country. I mean, that's a whole lot to deal with. Yet he said, I will not. Lord, teach me. When I look at some of the character of these gentlemen without the fullness of the Holy Ghost, I got a long way to go still. Anybody in here? But how much we got the fullness of the gospel, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We should excel in these areas. Then I need to do a little more drinking with him, a little more purifying with him, a little more tasting with him. Then I need to go back to my worship. I need to go back to my praise. I need to go back with the humble. I need to assemble together and let's magnify him, church. Let's lift him up. Let's deal with fear. Notice all these things start to work. When it comes to tasting, it's what's internal. It's what I have. It's what I possess. I can discern these things. In Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Have you ever cried out to God? His ears are open to your cry. He will hear. Notice previous verses. Call unto me and I'll hear you. He'll hear your cry. Notice that it's positioning you to finally be the way you should be. Maybe it should be how you should approach a holy God. Amen? How many want to approach him appropriately? He hears every cry. But we should mature in our faith. Man, when you were a little and a baby, you cried, Mom or Dad came to your rescue. And sometimes you couldn't quiet the kid down no matter what you did. You couldn't figure out what's wrong. You just went through it. And hopefully one day it would stop. But hopefully it did stop. But if you're 40 and still crying like a baby, somebody's got to get mature. How many of you can be a 40-year-old infant spiritually? You may have the age naturally, but that doesn't mean spiritual growth. Come on. When you can start to walk humble, means you're starting to mature. When you're starting to put a control over that lips on what's speaking, you're starting to shield that area, you're showing maturity. When you start to go through things, you start to realize fear is in life. As much as we like to say fear is in life, but I got to have the faith to overcome. I got to deal with those situations and say, God, you're going to help me. You're going to hear my cry. Then I'm going to cry out to you, oh God. The best I can offer you is something filtered. Amen? Lord, taste and see that he is good. Then God, what I bring forth. Then I need to start to discern, Lord, change me, amen? Because whatever filter you have, that's what you're going to filter it through. Oh, that's good preaching. Well, the other day, I had this giant, I hate to talk about my water, but it's just reality. We have this giant cartridge filter that comes in from the well pump, goes to these tanks, and it's got this big old filter. It's about that big. And I looked at it the other day, and it's like, man, that looks awful rusty in there. Well, I tried to take it off, and I couldn't get it loose. It's all molded plastic. I'm like, it can't be that tight. It just can't be. I'm working with it with a wrench. I'm like, oh, I'm going to bust this. So I found the name of the manufacturer. The place was about 10 miles away. I went there and I said, listen, I took a picture of it. I go, I can't get the filter off. He goes, how you doing it? I go, I'm turning. He goes, oh, you're doing it wrong. This particular model, you got to push up on it, then turn it. I never thought that in my life. I never heard of a thing you'd push up before you turn it. I did that, it came off like nothing. I felt like such a dumbbell. I go, dude, I just didn't know. He goes, a lot of people don't. We get a lot of service calls because they busted. Maybe they do it on purpose. I don't know. But as soon as he showed me how I changed it, and when I looked inside, like, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad that filter was there. For much of us, we have a big filter already built in. You got it when you got the Holy Ghost. Do you agree? How many conversations started to change after you got saved? You went from five-letter words to four-letter words to back to five-letter words. What did you do? How many of some four-letter words dropped off? You got some cleansing there. But it's just not enough. A salvation experience is not enough. It's great to get you started. It gets you to heaven. But now you got to go through the process. Listen to me. From glory to glory we go. Then, Lord Jesus, let me taste and see. Because when the water gets better, it's starting to be more refined. Amen? One of my roles as a pastor is this. I spend time in prayer on just delivery only. That, Lord, I can be a vessel of righteousness. That, Lord, you're able to speak through this earthen vessel. Amen? For you, I really want the best that you can drink and taste and see. Man, that's good. That God can take you down some journeys while I'm speaking. Remind you of some things. Bring back to remembrance some things you've been through. All these things God is able to do. When we get the fear of the Lord working with us, it's a path of salvation and deliverance. When I look at the taste, it's like this. There are many flavors in life. Even the sour can be made sweet. When I was growing up, you ever seen those lemon drops? Some people love them. I hate them. Only because when the first time I ever tasted it, I thought it'd be like candy. I put two or three of them in my mouth, and these ones were so sour. It's like chewing on a lemon. That's not my favorite thing. And I sucked on them for a while, and I thought maybe it'll get better. Maybe it's sour and sweet. It never got better. How many know some things you just got to spit out? I did. I spit it out. And I don't know if I've ever had a lemon drop again because I learned. I don't know what sour in your mouth, but I dare say don't swallow it. Taste and see that he is good. What Jesus offered is sweet living water. There are many flavors in life, but I want to even look at the sour. Lord, you can even make that sweet. Sometimes you'll have an experience that it'll be tough. As it says in Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. That God will take you from where you're at, from glory to glory. Sometimes there's a sour note going on. Lord Jesus, let me have what's good. How about when a bunch of sourness is brought to you? God, how can we make this sweet? Amen? Come on, a little more washing of the word. A little more love upon that. How about let's worship the Lord together. If I can get somebody to worship the Lord together, it brings change. When I get somebody to pray together, it brings change. When we can magnify the Lord, it brings change. All those things come alive. This world is only on its sights. It's only on its feelings. It's only on what it hears. But we have something far greater. It's faith. Amen. For the Christian, it's the greater reality. We need to realize that where we're going, this next step is more real than even what we experience here now in this dimension. God is good. The kingdom of heaven is real. Jesus is real. He has texture. He has emotions. He has feeling. Hallelujah. How many knows that we're in that kingdom? And those things we receive, it's by faith. But I've learned this. That faith can become sight when you walk it out long enough. You'll see the goodness of the Lord. You'll see your prayers answered. You'll hear God cry, and God will cry back unto you. Hallelujah. Everything the Lord does is good. Oh, taste and see. Take that internal thing and, he is good. Discern that area. Oh, that's good. And drink deep. When you drink deep of his kingdom, I want you to know that you're never the same. Well, let me get back to my story there. So a guy showed me how to do it. I took a couple notes, took it off, changed that out. But I looked inside this giant cartridge. What didn't go into the filter had sediment on the bottom. And I looked at that and I thought, you know what? I should have put a bucket of water aside because now I got to clean this out. And I have the water shut off. I can't put the cartridge back on. Are you with me? With a dirty, just instantly you'll plug it up. How many think, and you didn't think ahead? I didn't think ahead. So lo and behold, in my house, there are probably 15 bottles of water that are half drunk laying around everywhere. So I begin to take all those half-dead soldiers and I dumped it all in a bucket. I got some soap and I had enough to clean it with all the empty water bottles. How many knows the Lord will provide? Amen. When you drink water, drink it all the way out of your bottle. But if you don't, how many knows there's still a use for it? How many knows there was just enough? Do you think the Lord will always give you what you need? You ever notice in life you don't give, he gives you more than what you need? Amen. When Jesus offered, listen to me, those 5 loaves and fishes, here's the truth. What if it was a half a fish and a crumb? Could God still feed 5,000? Yeah, yes or no? Or did it have to be that super number right there? What if it was 100 fishes and 20 loaves of bread? Would it have diminished the 5,000? Do you see, we need to look at it, and God's able to take the provision. What is the provision? But what if the church is living where it needs to be? What if the water of life is flowing? What if we're tasting, seeing how good he is? Can you see how the environment will change? To me, it brings maturity to a church when the people are mature leading in the church. It's not babes leading babes or the blind leading the blind. They both fall in the ditch. But we taste and see. And you know what? All of a sudden, you got your cup ready. That's good. And you're doing it. Oh, it's so good. It's going in. And sooner or later, it's coming out. I'm slow to wrath. I'm slow to speak. But I'm quick to hear. Lord, let me be that person. Taste and see that he is good. I challenge you this coming year to taste and see that he is good. In the beginning of the year, I'm going to be bringing what God's beginning to speak to me for this coming year. That this last year, how many got a little more pure than you did last year? Anybody in here? Some things drop off. How about walking a little more power? Power to overcome sin. Amen. And dare I say, this church, we've reached some people this summer. Pretty remarkable, the things we've covered. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it blows me away. Those areas there are still always important to the Lord. As we hear from heaven, I always wanted to bathe it in prayer. Amen. Because the world's going to come in and they're thirsty. They've been drinking from the wrong cistern. But sooner or later, they're going to get sick of where they're at. And they're going to want something more pure. And the church needs to be ready to give it to them. Sometimes you get one shot at one service to do it. We need to be ready. Say amen. How many knows that means all of us in here, we're prepared. Then what's coming into you is going to come out of you. Let it spill. Hallelujah. Let it spill. Amen. You enjoy tonight? Amen. Can we taste and see that he's good? If you would, let's lift our hands towards heaven. Father, we thank you. We thank you in the name of Jesus.